start in Genesis 3:1. So the Lord's going to minister some things to us tonight about responding. Because when things come up in life, it matters that we respond right. Have you ever noticed that there can be some challenging times in life? Some challenging days, sometimes challenging weeks or years or months or whatever it is. But there's always something that we can do, right? Yes. And the way that we respond matters. Genesis 3:1 says this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And what I wanted you to see here was this part, "Yea, hath God said." Because in every situation and in every circumstance, what the enemy is after is the word. He wants to steal the word out of your life. When you come into the service, you know what he's after? The word. He's here trying to get people distracted, right? Focused on maybe symptoms, on maybe a disagreement they're having with someone, you know, maybe a loved one who isn't acting right, or someone who's walked away from the Lord, maybe a loss, you know, maybe something that they're facing at work. He's trying to get people distracted and their attention on other things so that what? They're not attending to the word. He's always after the word. Have you noticed when you purpose to go and sit down to study the word, to pray the word, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to worship God, what happens? Every time there's an interruption, a distraction, you know. Today, even while I was in my room preparing for the message, not that my kids are used to the enemy, but you understand, they never come in my room so many times as when I'm trying to study the word, right? So I'm, you know, preparing. Then next thing you know, my husband's up there, and he's like, "What's for lunch, and how long do I heat it up, and where is it, and all these things," you know, because it doesn't matter. When you go to attend to the word, to receive from the word, to speak the word, to pray the word, to, you know, study the word, if you go to attend to God in any way, there's going to be a distraction. And the enemy is always trying to stir something up to keep you from getting in that word. And but we don't let him. We decide what our attention is on. We decide that we're excited about the word. We decide we're going to praise him anyway. We decide that we're going to come to church, and no matter what happened before church, what is happening after church, we are going to listen and pay attention and receive from the word, right? And over here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, it says this. If you could just put it on the screen, you don't need to turn there. But it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And remember that Hebrews says he's the finisher of our faith. And so it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what thing is trying to come against you. It doesn't matter what's happening in your family. It doesn't matter how people are persecuting you, talking about you, what's happening with your kids, your grandkids, your job, your finances. It doesn't matter. He saw when it started, and there's an end to that thing. He is the finisher of it, and he's going to make sure you stand strong as long as you continue to depend on him. Amen. Because how many of you know, as you go through something and go through a trial, you start to lean away from him and toward you, right? Have you ever noticed that? Like, you start out real strong in faith and in prayer and, you know, and in the word, and you're rejoicing and praising, and then a couple months go by and you start trying to figure out how you're going to get out of it and what you're going to do to resolve the situation, you know? And then a few months later goes by again, and next thing you know, you were shouting and dancing and running and praising, and now you're a little quieter than you were before, and you're not so excited about the word because now you're not quite as sure that he really meant he's going to bring you out, you know. And so remember, he's the finisher. He's the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He will see you through as long as you depend on him. So tonight we're going to talk about that. And have you ever tried things your way? Have you? You've tried things your way? I mean, something comes up and we Google things, I mean, we know better, right? But we still do it at times, you know. You ask a friend, you know, you find out what everybody else did when they went through a situation. You know, you go through your Rolodex of experience of what you did at other times, you know. We look to our own efforts, but he wants us to look to him. And we're going to see tonight, one of our main weapons is praise. And actually, if we do it right, most of our praise does not happen at the end with the manifestation. It happens all along the way while we're depending on him to work, right? And so that then by the time we get to the end of the thing, we've already laughed and shouted and danced and praised so much about it, all we do is just pick up the manifestation of that thing. Because if the enemy can get your joy and your peace and your rejoicing and your shouting and your thanking and your praising, he's got your faith. You've got to keep that. You guard it no matter what, and you do it regardless of how you feel. Because, you know, sometimes things feel hard and heavy, right? Have you ever noticed that? You know, things can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't matter. We have an anecdote to that. We know what to do, and it's called praise. That's how we respond to God. We praise. And we're going to see some scriptures concerning that tonight. But go with me, if you will, over here to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And you don't have to raise your hand. Matter of fact, don't raise your hand. But does anybody in here have a situation that's been going on a while, a problem you've been working on, right? It may be in your marriage. It may be in your body. It may be in your family. It may be at your job, in some area of life, right? Something that you've needed resolved for a while, and you've been working on it. But God wants to work on it. And so we have to depend on him, not our own abilities, right? So go to Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and we'll read to verse 24, and then we'll read another portion of that scripture too. And it says in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then we'll skip a portion of the scripture, because remember, it's the woman with the issue of the blood. She interrupts Jairus and Jesus going to help his daughter. And so she gets healed. And then go over here, and we'll start in verse 35. And it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? So here, while Jesus stops to heal the woman with the issue of blood, some time has passed, and now Jairus' daughter, who needed help, is dead. And so he said, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Because as a parent, you hear that report, and fear tries to step in, right? He said, don't be afraid, only believe. If we could just keep fear off our faith, right? And we talked in women's group about Philippians 4:6 that says, be careful for nothing. And that isn't just like a one-time thing, like, oh, I had a thought that came to me and it seemed overwhelming and, you know, I was tempted to take a care. I'll just cast that care and then I'm not careful anymore. No, it's a diligent, constant, everyday thing to keep something off your believing in your peace, right? And so he said, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult that and them that wept and wailed greatly, when he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, He took the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and they entered in where she was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And go to the next verse. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And what I want you to see is here in verse 40, when he had put them all out. Why did he put them all out? Because they didn't have faith for it. He kept Peter, James, and John with him, and Jairus and his wife, and the rest he put out, because they didn't have faith for it. And so, can I tell you something? Sometimes Jesus wants us to get out of our own situation, right? You stop working on it, you get out, so he can do something about it. Because you're your own stumbling block. Have you worked and worked and worked in your mind, and you figured things out and calculated things and thought about how it's going to work, and then you apply those efforts and it all comes to nothing? And then the next day, what do? You go through that again, only you come up with a new idea, and someone else suggests something you should do, and then you Google it, and you figure out another way, and then you apply that, and it still comes to nothing. We're not like the world. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Ghost. John 14:26 is our helper and our counselor, and then when trials and difficulties come, we turn to our own efforts. And he doesn't want us to do that. And did you know that the way you think you come out and the way he knows you come out are two different things? And that what he tells us to do and what needs to be done is easy, and we're always trying to do something hard. You know, praise is really easy. And you don't have to feel like it to do it. And as a matter of fact, many times you don't feel like it, but you should do it, right? And, you know, the Bible says that his praise shall continually be in my lips. He wants to be thanked all the time. And not just because it makes you aware of him, although it does do that, but also it takes your eyes off of you. Remember what we were told in Hebrews? It says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're to look to him. But many times what happens is situations come up, and who do we look to? Us. We look to us. We look to doctors. We look to our bank accounts. We look to our job. Maybe we look to someone who we think is strong. We're looking to everything but him. And praise keeps your attention on him. It keeps your attention on what he's doing. So go over here to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and turn to verse 12. Romans 6:12. Are you letting him be the Lord of your life? Are you? Because he's your Savior doesn't mean he's your Lord. Did you know that? And we show him as Lord on a daily basis by the things that we do. Romans 6:12. By the things that we do. Is he ruling and reigning in your life? Is he telling you something to do or not to do and you obey it? Is he giving you an instruction and you take it and receive it and apply it to your life? That means he's your Lord, right? That you look in the Lord, in the Word, find out what he wants you to do and actually do it. And so he can be your Savior and not your Lord. We're going to see here in verse 12, Romans 6:12, it says this, and we're also going to look at this in the Amplified Classic. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And can we look at verse 12 through 16 in the Amplified? Let not sin therefore reign as king in your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies, to make you yield to its cravings, to be subject to its lusts and its evil passions. Keep going, please. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments or tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you had been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you. Now, a lot of times when we think about these verses, and we'll keep reading in a minute, a lot of times when we think about sin, what we think about is things like drinking, doing drugs, smoking, you know, affairs, that sort of thing. But did you know that worry's a sin? Worry is a sin. You know, there are other things, too, that come in and try and have dominion over you. Have you noticed that? Being discontent, just being unsettled, not being at peace with things. You know, there are things that come to get a person offended. You know, have you noticed that? Offense tries to reign over a person, doesn't it? It tries to have and exert dominion over a person. And so offense, worry, panic, fear, discontentment, all of these things, it might not just be something like drinking or smoking or extramarital affairs, those sorts of things, that they try to have dominion over you. They try to boss your life. Have you ever noticed that when sickness comes, what does it try to do? It tries to boss your life, right? You go to this doctor's appointment at this time. You pay this much money for this prescription. You take these, you know, medications at this time. It tries to tell you what to eat, what not to eat, how much to eat, when to sleep, when not to sleep, how much to sleep. What happens? Sickness tries to come and do what? Be your Lord. And do you know where sickness comes from? The enemy. But so does worry and panic, right? Worry and panic will tell you, oh, you can't do that. You know, you can't, don't spend that money, don't give in the offering. It'll tell you, don't go to a certain place, don't be with a certain person. You know, people have panic and fear and anxiety about all kinds of things. It could be personal interaction, speaking in front of someone, something you have to do at work, whatever. Something about your kids, fear and panic. You know what it does? To come and try and have dominion over you. And so we'll continue reading. It says, since now you are not under the law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. What then are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we live not under the law, but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. Do you not know if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey? Did you know that? Pay attention what you're obeying every day. Are you obeying the word? Are you obeying the leading of the Spirit? Are you obeying peace? Are you spending time with him? What is it that you're obeying? Does fear tell you something every day and then you obey it? You know how you can tell what it is coming out of your mouth. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Is there something that continually just agitates, aggravates, gets you unsettled? Is it a certain person? Is it a certain people? Is it a certain situation or place? What is it that, oh, just gets you aggravated, gets you mad? You know what I've had in my spirit lately? Is that people are dealing with anger. Like, they are just so mad about some things, you know? They're, can I say this? Mad even about spiritual leadership. Whoa. Spiritual leadership. That's really dangerous. And are you obeying that voice? Because he wants to be Lord of your life, but that other thing comes in to try to be the Lord. And it will tell you things to think, things to do, to not do, to avoid. What is it, that thing that aggravates, upsets? Is it something concerning your kid? See, the enemy wants to lord it over you in that area. He wants to have dominion over you in that area. And the Bible said here in the King James Version, verse 12 says, let not. He said, let not sin, let not worry, let not offense, let not anger. Don't let anything rule over you. And in the second part of that verse, it said that you should obey it. The enemy wants you to obey it. wants you to obey anger. Do you know, I know people who, they'll say, I can't help it. Like, they get upset. They yell. Actually, to be honest with you, any overindulgence in emotions. Like, have you ever seen people who are, like, way up here, like, just talk a mile a minute, they seemingly are happy all the time, all that kind of stuff? That's fine and good, but you know there are lows to that, right? People who are way up here, they also tend to be way down here. What we want is what 2 Timothy says, a calm, go to 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified, well-balanced. Here's what it says. Don't give in to a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, craven, cringing, and fawning fear, but he's given us the spirit of power, love, a calm, well-balanced mind, disciplined. Well, no one wants to talk about discipline these days, right? Just spend what you want, you know, eat what you want, go where you want, be with who you want. That's what the world says, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says to have some discipline and have some self-control in your spending, in your emotions, in your marriage, in your walk with God. Have some self-control, right? But in your mind, have some self-control. That what are you obeying every day? Are you obeying the Lord? Are you obeying the Word? Are you obeying what the Holy Ghost tells you to do? Or are you obeying something else? Because whatever you're obeying will dominate you and have dominion over you. And until you face and master that thing, you'll always be its servant. Right? Even things like anything that's done to extreme. Right? What about overeating? Right? We think, well, overeating is no big problem. Well, maybe in and of itself, but the problem is that you're feeding your flesh. And the enemy wants you to get used to feeding your flesh. So that's just your bent, where you tend toward. It's no big deal. But if you're always feeding your flesh, it's hard to get your, you know, get that under control. You can't hear your spirit, right? Have you known people who get over-involved in something like work? They're workaholics. Do you know what that is? That's just giving into the flesh, right? It's a lack of self-control, what the Bible says here. It's a lack of self-control. I know people even who you think working out is a good thing, but how they're almost obsessed with it. See, that's a lack of self-control. It's not that they're overly healthy. It's that that thing has become their Lord. It absorbs their time, their attention. It's what they study. They only hang around people who also want to be involved in that. So we must be cautious. What do we let run our day? What do you let boss your thoughts, your actions? What does it tell you to do, and where does it tell you to go, and who does it tell you to avoid? So we must be very careful to have a well-balanced, disciplined, self-controlled mind, because we don't want anything to be our Lord except our Lord, right? And the Bible said here, do not let sin therefore reign. That means be the master, right? Who's the master of your life? You don't just sit back and let the devil do anything he wants, bring any thought he wants, bring any temptation he wants, you know, boss your time, boss your attention. That's a huge one. If he can get your attention, he's got you. Think about how you hate this person, how you dislike this person, everything that they do that you don't like. Look how horrible they are. Look what they say. You scrutinize everything about them. And your attention's so much on that, you're not even paying attention to God and his word. You are on the wrong track and going the wrong direction. And so we must be very self-controlled that other things don't master us, don't reign bigger in our life than him. And praise and worship helps us to do that. But let's see this over here, if you will, in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Who or what is your Lord? What is it that you spend your money on, your time on? and most importantly, your attention on, right? What has your attention? Did someone do you wrong a year ago? And maybe it wasn't even really like a true wrong. They just said something you didn't like. And you have thought about it, meditated on it, been mad about it ever since. You're letting it rule your life. And actually, that's a weakness. It's not a strength. It takes spiritual fortitude to have someone do or say something perceived by you as wrong and overlook it, right? To ignore it. And quite honestly, I don't really care what anybody does. It doesn't affect me. I'm not saying it doesn't try to affect me. I'm saying I have decided it won't. Brother Hagin used to say, now his grandmother raised him. Most of us are familiar with Brother Hagin. And his parents, his dad left him and left his mother and all the kids. And when she was pregnant with him, she had to go back and live with her parents. And his grandmother was there when he was born and helped to take care of him and raise him. And he talked about how if someone said, I killed my own grandmother, I wouldn't even pay attention to it. I wouldn't even take time to acknowledge it. You know, the person who was so dear and close to his heart. Listen, people are people. They're going to do people things, and they're going to say and do hurtful things. And we have a choice when that happens. How do we respond? How do we respond? We have a choice. Do we respond in love, in forgiveness, in mercy, in grace? You know what? Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they're going through something themselves. But I just choose. The Bible says that love believes the worst. No, it doesn't. It believes the best. I know you didn't mean that. I know you didn't mean to say it like that. Believe the best of a person. And dear Lord, believe the best of the brethren. Right? Each other. Do you know Matthew 5:45? I've been meditating in this. Can you put that up, please? Matthew 5:45. And you know how we're believing for the lost to know the Lord, right? You're believing for that, right? Like people you know who are lost that need to know Jesus, and how we always pray for them that they would come out of darkness into light, that God would send laborers to their path, all of those things. Light is sprung upon them. And so we're asking God to pour out upon them, you know, his light, that they would know certain things, come to the truth. And so in praying that, that God would pour out on the unjust, so looking at this scripture, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the wicked and on the good. He makes the rain to fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers alike. Can you go to the King James, please? Because the Bible says the just and the unjust. And what we tend to pray for is the unjust. Those who are they're not right with God, right? They have not given their heart to him. The unjust, we pray for them. But I was thinking about this scripture, and it came to me a couple days ago. Dear Lord, we need God to pour out on the body of Christ, on the just. Don't we? Yes, we need the lost. But dear God, the body of Christ is tearing itself down, hurting itself, and destruction from the inside out. We don't even need the lost and the wicked to come tear down the church. It's doing it to itself. Right? By attacking leadership, by attacking each other, by being an offense. We need God to reign on the body. We need God to reign on the just. So I've started asking him, God, reign on the just. Because one drop from him and your whole thought can change. Your whole direction, the way you were just so way far off in your thinking. One drop from him and what have I been thinking? You know, come to yourself. Like, I don't hate them like the enemy said I do. I actually love them. Do you know what an autoimmune disease is, it's your body attacking itself. That's what the body of Christ has been going through. The body attacking itself. And Jesus wants it to stop. It's unnatural. It's a problem. When your body has an autoimmune disease, what do? You go to the doctor to stop it, right? I don't know if anybody in here has ever dealt with that. I dealt with an autoimmune disease years ago, and they said I would never be healed from it, but the Lord supernaturally healed me of it. I'm not on any medication. I don't have any symptoms or side effects. Like, literally, no smell of smoke. 100% fully restored to health. Do not have that issue anymore. I can tell you, autoimmune diseases are not fun. What happens is your body starts to attack the healthy parts, the healthy tissues, the healthy cells. And so it's an interesting thing, because all you want to do is be well, but your body keeps making itself sick, you know? It's demonic. But the same thing happens right now in the body of Christ. It's like an autoimmune, it's attacking itself. Like, remember when our main concern was like the world, you know, trying to do things against the church? I remember when we started Jamestown Family Church, and there was this housing development behind it, and they did everything they could to resist us building that building and having a church there. But how many of you know? I mean, duh. You'd be a dummy to fight against God, right? So they lost, you know, because we know that what the devil meant for evil, God will make it good, that you read the end of the book and we always win, you know. So we expect that the lost, the people who are evil and don't know God, fight against the church. We saw that happen here, remember, with the code, and we kept having to go to the hotel, and how many years did we pray for the people at the BIU, whatever that's called, I don't even know. I knew the guy, I called the guy by name. We prayed and prayed and prayed for that guy regarding this building. And we expect that, right? But not the church tearing down the church. That ought not to be. That we're the brethren. The Bible says his will is no schism in the body, right? That we're all working together in unity. So anyway, that's what the Holy Ghost wanted to say. I didn't plan any of that. But apparently it mattered to him that it was said. We're not to tear each other down. We're to build each other up, right? 1 Peter 5, verse 9, this is what you're to do, I'm to do. Resist steadfast in the faith. That's what we're to do. Resist steadfast in the faith. And we're going to talk about that. The Amplified Classic says, be firm in your faith. And one of the ways you're firm in your faith is praising and worshiping God. Praising and worshiping him. So let's go over here and look at a few verses concerning that. Psalm 27, 1 through 6. You can just write that down and I'll read it on the screen. Psalm 27, 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though a host should encamp against me, listen, there might be at one time not just one thing coming against you. It seems like everything's coming against you. But we don't fear. Though war rise up against us, in this we will be confident. And one thing I desired of the Lord that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and inquire in his temple. Keep going. Okay. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, and I will sing praises unto the Lord. And so listen, you're far above it. He said, he lifted up my head above my enemies. The enemy of what? Sickness. The enemy of doubt. The enemy of fear, of panic. The enemy of whatever's trying to come against you. He lifted up your head above it. And all you have to do, you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to try and make it better. You don't have to make it perfect. All you have to do is offer the sacrifice of joy and sing praise to him. Go over to Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and we not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And then over here, go to Isaiah 61:3. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. That's us. We're trees of righteousness. We are the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Can you go to the Amplified of this? Listen to this. The garment expressive of praise. Well, that eliminates this. Praising God in my heart. No, it's expressive. We can hear it, right? You express your praise instead of. So here's your choice. On one hand, you have praise, and on the other hand, you have a heavy, burdened, failing spirit. Well, I'm sorry to say, I've been on that side of it before, okay? Heavy, burdened, failing spirit, that we may be oaks of righteousness. Do you want to be lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness and justice, and have right standing with God and be his planting? Then all you have to do is praise, right? Because when things seem hard and heavy, like it's not working out, like everything's going from bad to worse, like there's no resolution, there's no answer, this is not turning around. When it seems like that, it feels like that, you think like that, stand up, worship him and praise him, and you say, how long do I do that? There's no clock. You worship, you praise, you rejoice, you dance, you thank him until that thing is broken off of you. It might take 5 minutes, it might take 10 minutes, it might take half an hour, but you stay with it. And then tomorrow, when that thing tries to come back on you, that feeling of I'm going under, I'm not going over, no one knows what I'm going through, this isn't working out, how am I going to get through this, all those things. When you feel and sense that again, you start to think like that again, you stand up, you praise him, you worship him, you honor him, you glorify him, you have songs of joy, you're dancing before him, and listen, it lifts all of that. So it says instead of. So if you find yourself in the list of those things, heavy burden, failing spirit, if that describes you, instead of that, praise. There are some times I drop my kids off at school, and my husband works from home, so a lot of times he's in his office working already in the morning, and I'll go to the garage because it's kind of on the other side of where he is, and I'll just go in there and worship my heart out. Because I can do it as loud as I want, and no one's going to interrupt me, and he's not on that side of the house. Just thank him, or in my shower, because no one's coming in my room when I'm doing that, you know. So worship and thanking and praising and honoring and singing. And sometimes I have songs out of my heart that I sing, but sometimes I'll just sing a verse of a song that I know. Whatever I can do to lift him up above that feeling, that thing, that oppression, that depression, that discouragement, that heaviness, you know, that thing that tries to get on your shoulders and hold you down and push you down and keep you down. You decide whether or not that happens. And if you have this sense that this, you know, crying all the time, if you're crying all the time, there's a spirit behind that. And you have a choice whether or not, you know what I'm talking about? Like, everything's upsetting. You weep at the drop of a hat. You know, you can't control your emotions. But you can control it, right? You have a say what happens. You can worship and praise and glorify. You don't give any attention to that thing. When you're worshiping and praising, all your attention is on him. And it shows him you believe he's bigger. You believe no matter what it feels like, what it looks like, what it seems like, he's bringing you through. That there's nothing that can hold you down and keep you back. There's a message that Brother Kevin Durant preached in the Fredonia Church. It is on their archived website on YouTube. You need to go and see it and listen to it. It was their first night of services there. And he talked about worshiping, thanking, and praising, that we've allowed the situations and circumstances to get us quiet. You know, like, so introspective. You're just thinking about it, mulling it over, you know, going over it in your mind again, then think about it some more, getting quieter, thinking about it, and you're more upset, you're more discouraged, you're more out of peace, all of that. Just break out and worship to him. Praise him, thank him, glorify him. For the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. But go and watch that message. It will change your life. And one thing that's really interesting, did you know that worship is not just the 15 minutes we stand and worship here in the church? I'm not diminishing that. But that's really our greatest praise should be in private with him. Then when we come here, it's just an outflow of what we've already been doing, right? It's just so easy because we've already been doing that at home. And sometimes you come and you really exhort people to just put your attention on him, just focus on him, just worship him. And it's hard for them to do here because they haven't been doing it at home. And so every day, purpose to keep your attention on him. Okay, let's look at one more thing here. Acts chapter 16. This is an account you're very familiar with. Acts chapter 16. You can worship him in your car, worship him while you're getting ready, worship him on your way to work, worship him on your way home. We rejoice in praise and honor him at all times. Acts 16. And let me tell you something. You don't have to do a bunch of things to try and get yourself out of a situation. You let him work it out. Do you know what praise is? Praise is really cheering on God while he's working on it. That's all. He's the one who's working on it. He's the one who's figuring it out. You know, the Bible says he fights our battles for us. All you have to do is praise and worship him. Praise and worshiping God is really just cheering him on while he's working all your stuff out. When you don't know what to do, praise. When you don't know what to do, worship. When you don't know what to do, rejoice. The Bible says in Job, I think it's chapter 5, at destruction and famine you shall laugh. Does destruction and famine ever try to come to your life? But we sit down and cry and worry about it and talk to people about it and Google about it and all of that. He wants us to praise. Acts 16:16. And we're going to go down to verse 26. Can I just have this in the King James? And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. See what I was talking about earlier? They're on their way to prayer, right? As soon as you go to pray, something gets stirred up to try and interrupt you praying, right? But notice they didn't let it affect them. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men are Jews and are exceedingly troublesome to our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. So we see here they were beaten. Well, first they were harassed. You know, this spirit through this woman just following them around, harassing them. Have you ever had that? Someone who just... they're just after you, after you, after you. You're like, every turn, they're against what you're doing, against what you're saying. They withstand you to the face, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, but notice this. It happened day after day after day, and then Paul did something about it. It wasn't until the Holy Ghost told him to do something about it, or it was revealed to him what to do, that he did something. And so anyway, first, they're harassed, then they're drawn before the people and beaten, then they're thrown into prison. That's a rough day, right? And most of us would want to sit down and cry, right? They didn't do that. Go to verse 25. They did not do that. They didn't sit down and cry. They didn't have a pity party. Why is this happening to me? That's what everybody asked themselves, right? Why is this happening to me? They didn't. They just sang praises. You would think, you just got beaten and you're in jail. That's your answer, is to sing praises? That's what you got? Exactly. And it was more than enough to bring them out. And they didn't go into the prison and start calculating. Okay, if we get this guard on our side, he can tell this person this. They'll bring somebody to... they weren't figuring out how they're going to get out. They just, because when you're in there, your attention would want to be on how to get me out. Yeah. Right? Prison's uncomfortable, I think. I mean, I've never been there, but I've told it's not pleasant. And all you want to do is get out. And all they did was sing praises. That's a very simple answer to a very complicated problem. Your mind would tell you this is not enough, but the Bible says it's enough. And so then verse 26, I'm really glad God made it easy. He made it so simple. It's not hard. Then there was suddenly an earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. I mean, who could have figured that? That's how it was going to end up. That's how they would get out. But God has ways and means we don't know, right? And so as we praise and sing praises to him, our bands are loosed. We come out. And here's your homework, okay? Of course, obviously, I would encourage you to worship him at all times. Whether you have 10 seconds or 10 minutes, that it becomes a lifestyle to you to worship and praise him. And not out of like a rigid law, because of how much he's done for you. But I would encourage you to read the account in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Remember all the enemy armies coming against Jehoshaphat? And what did they do? Sing and praise. That's all they had to do, was sing and praise. And God brought them out. And it's such an amazing thing, because what happened was, they show up, God's people show up, and the enemy armies had just turned to one another and destroyed each other. They didn't even have to fight in the battle. And it's the same thing with us. We don't even have to fight in the battle. We just worship him while he works. Amy and I were talking, I think it was a week or so ago, and we were talking at prayer about, personal freedom, living free from cares, and, God wanting us to do that so our faith would work and all of that. And she said, oh, you mean like whistle while you work? Like have a good attitude no matter what you're doing, just sing and praise and whistle while you work. So that stuck with me, Amy. I appreciate that. So just whistle while you work. That's what Amy said to do. Whatever you're doing, you're just worshiping, thanking, praising, thinking of him and his goodness, and saying it out loud. Amen. So you can think of that. Whistle while you work. Amen. God wants us to know he's working on it. All we do is praise him. Right? Read that account. Go home as your homework. Read that account. Read it a couple times. And see how many times it talks about them singing, them praising. They even got out instruments. You don't even have to do that. You do not want me getting out an instrument, I promise. The Lord doesn't even want that, But they even got out instruments and brought it to a whole new level. And then he just worked. Just worked it all out. And then they showed up, and you know what they did? They didn't fight. They gathered up the spoil. The Bible says there was so much, they spent 3 days gathering up the spoil. Now, it might not be money or natural things. It could be, but it could be other things. That as you praise and worship him and a situation is worked out, your lost family members are gathered up into you. That job you lost, it's restored to you. Your loved ones start coming in line with God. It could be whatever it is that's a treasure to you. They gathered up the treasure for 3 days because they worshiped and praised. Amen. Father, we thank you. You are our treasure. You're not just our Savior, you're our Lord. We're very interested in what you're doing and in who you are. And we are so grateful that you are a strong and mighty God, that you fight for us. Father, we thank you and praise you that you made our part so easy and simple. And Lord, I just thank you for every person here tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you're working in people's hearts. You're working and speaking to them concerning changes they might need to make. And Father, I just thank you for the instruction of the word. And Father, I just thank you that the first step in our walk, in our relationship, is to know you as Lord and Savior. And I just ask, if there's anyone here that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that we would pray with you and you can know him as Lord and Savior. Is there anyone in the room tonight that if you were to leave this earth, you're not sure that you would be in heaven? Is there anyone who you're not sure that Jesus is your Lord? If that describes you, just raise your hand and we'll all pray with you. I don't see any hands. So Father, I just thank you that you are our Savior. And Father, we just in our hearts purpose that you're our Lord. The Lord of our thoughts, the Lord of our bodies, the Lord of our spirit. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for what you're working in our lives. We thank you, Father. And I ask you, according to Matthew 5:45, to pour out on the just. Pour out on this local body. Father, pour out on this local body. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. Let's just stand to our feet and be a doer of the word. Let's do what we just learned. Father, we worship you. We praise you. There's none like you. We thank you, Father. You always make a way of escape. We thank you, Father God. You've made us the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed coming in and blessed going out. Everything we put our hand to is blessed. We thank you for strength in our bodies. We thank you for peace in our minds. We thank you, Lord God, that you're always working for us. We worship you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.